Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Center for American Progress Oregon Automatic Voter Registration Conference Call. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Liz Kennedy, Director of Democracy and Government Reform at the Center for American Progress. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Thank you all for joining us on this call to announce the findings of our analysis of the impact of automatic voter registration in Oregon, the first state in the nation to launch an AVR program in 2016. We know that 93 million eligible citizens didn't vote in 2016, and we know that traditional voter registration can act as a barrier to participation. With our democracy facing challenges, both external and internal, it is all the more important to look at the successful reforms that are already working to strengthen our democracy and encourage voter participation. Today, we will review the findings of CAF's new report, Who Votes with Automatic Voter Registration, which presents a demographic and geographic portrait of the impact of the voters who are assisted in participating in our democracy through AVR, and we are thrilled to be joined by Oregon Governor Kate Brown. First, I'm pleased to announce Winnie Stackelberg, our Executive Vice President for External Affairs here at the Center for American Progress, to discuss the highlights of the report. Winnie?
Thank you. My name is Winnie Stackelberg, and I'm Executive Vice President for External Affairs at the Center for American Progress. Thanks for joining us. Automatic voter registration is a necessary, common-sense reform whose time has come. Since Oregon adopted it in 2015 and implemented it in 2016, several other states have moved to modernize their systems with automatic voter registration. Our new report provides a demographic and geographic portrait of how Oregon's automatic voter registration system has expanded the state's electorate and registered hundreds of thousands of eligible citizens to vote. This is the first time the question is being answered about which populations actually used AVR and if the program is working to expand the electorate. The answer is a resounding yes. Oregon provides strong evidence in favor of automatic voter registration. AVR strengthens democracy by expanding and broadening the electorate. AVR's streamlined systems can save states and localities significant costs, making the voter registration lists more accurate and up-to-date, and increase the security of the voting system. AVR is the next logical step in creating an efficient, secure, and modern voter registration system for the 21st century. Some quick highlights. In less than a year, AVR registered over 270,000 new registrations, and more than 98,000 of them voted in the 2016 election. By Election Day, OMB registrants made up 8.7% of people registered to vote and constituted 4.7% of all voters in Oregon. Oregon's electorate is now more representative of the state's population since citizens registered through OMB are younger, more rural, lower income, and more ethnically diverse. While turnout was up across the country in the 2016 election cycle, Oregon experienced the largest surge of any state, a 4.1% increase compared with 2012. It is reasonable to say that AVR played a large part in that increase. Well, what's so special about AVR? Traditionally, the voter registration process has put the full burden on the individual to get themselves registered to vote and keep their registration updated every time they move if they wanted to be able to cast a vote and have their voices heard. Several states have adopted AVR programs since Oregon and are on their way to implementation, including California and Alaska, who adopted AVR last year at the ballot box. Just last month, there was a unanimous bipartisan support in both houses in Illinois to adopt AVR, and the bill awaits the governor's signature. And in Rhode Island, the AVR bill passed the House unanimously last week. We are in a very good place, in large part because of our next speaker. I'd like to turn it over to Governor Kate Brown. Governor Brown championed Oregon's automatic voter registration program when she was Secretary of State and was instrumental in moving the policy through the legislature. At that point, she had become the governor and was actually able to sign the bill into law, which has led to these terrific results for Oregonians. Governor Kate Brown.
Thank you so much, Winnie, and I'm just delighted to be part of the conference call this morning. I just wanted to share a little bit of the history about how we came up with the concept and why I think it has been so successful, and then I'll conclude with some of our success stories. So we came up with the idea of automatic voter registration through a number of ways. We have vote-by-mail in Oregon. We've been a vote-by-mail state now for 20 years. And the vision behind vote-by-mail is that we would put a ballot in the hands of every eligible Oregonian. So we've had great success in terms of getting folks the ballot through the mail system. Where we had really struggled was around the registration system. And we have a cutoff period in our Constitution to prohibit same-day voter registration. So we were looking at technology as a way to make a registration more convenient and accessible for our voters. One of the projects I did tour was what they're doing in Delaware in terms of registering voters through the DMV. So I brought that model back to Oregon. Unfortunately, as we were updating our computer systems, it was too late to do the Delaware model. The other piece that was key is that we had passed legislation in 2007 requiring proof of citizenship for driver's licenses. So automatic voter registration gave us a way literally to make lemonade out of lemons. We came up with the concept to move directly into a opt-out model, and it's been, frankly, an extraordinary success here. I will say a couple of pieces that were key to us moving forward. Number one, we had a legislature that was supportive. Number two, in our first attempt at a passage, we had 3 out of 36 county clerks that were supportive. And we had a Department of Motor Vehicles and a Oregon Department of Transportation agency that was encouraging and willing to work with us in terms of implementation. The concept we used was the nudge principle, that it would be an opt-out as opposed to opt-in, and the technology would be transferring data seamlessly and securely from the Department of Motor Vehicles to our elections office at the Secretary of State's office. What that did was allow us to avoid literally hand-entering over 100,000 voter registration cards that came from our DMV offices every single year to our county clerk's offices, where they had to hand-enter every single one. So we were able to make the case that it was substantially more cost-effective. Because of the technology involved, it was obviously extremely secure. And the other piece, much more accessible and convenient for our voters. During the committee hearings on the bill, one of the Republican legislators asked me, you know, voter registration. We had at that point online voter registration was already convenient for Oregonians. The legislator asked me, it's already so convenient. Why would you make it even easier to register people to vote? And the answer for me was, because we can make it easier, more convenient, and more accessible for people to register. It's obviously as secure, I would certainly argue more secure, and it's substantially more cost-effective to the citizens, and we can enfranchise hundreds of thousands of more Oregonians. I'll just share two of the paradigm shifts that we have realized as a result of automatic voter registration. Number one, registration shouldn't be a barrier to participation. I think folks talk about registration as a way to prove you are worthy of voting. And the reality is voting is a fundamental right. And by virtue of our citizenship and age, we should be able to participate. And you shouldn't have to prove, quote, that you are worthy, end quote, to participate. And so that has been a paradigm shift for folks here. I think the other thing that's been critically important is sort of the change in on-the-ground efforts. prior to automatic voter registration, we saw, you know, hundreds of Oregonians, whether it's organizations through organizations like American Association of University Women or Legal Women Voters or the Bus Project or the Oregon Student Association, spent thousands and thousands and thousands of hours registering voters. And if you think about not just the time and energy, but also the money spent doing that, the other paradigm shift is the fact that these organizations can now spend that very valuable time and energy doing education, engagement, and empowerment, and that is a much better use of their time and energy to educate and engage voters than doing voter registration. So that's been a very successful shift that we have seen. So I think the results speak for themselves. I want to say thank you to folks at Reed and Professor Gronke's team for the report. This has been an extraordinary success. It's been an incredible way to enfranchise hundreds of thousands of Oregonians and literally put a ballot in the hands of every eligible Oregonian. Thank you. I look forward to hearing your questions.
Thank you so much, Governor Brown. Really great to hear about the work that's been done and the history. And now I'm pleased to introduce my co-author on the report. Robert Griffin is a senior policy analyst at the Center for American Progress, and will discuss more details about our impact findings.
Thanks, Liz. So one of the things we really wanted to do with this report was really dig into this data, tell the fullest story possible that we could about AVR in Oregon. So the first thing was that we know that over 270,000 people were registered through AVR in the last year. What we wanted to know was how many of these people wouldn't have registered themselves. That is, how many of these people are only registered because of the implementation of AVR in Oregon. And using a number of different data points that we have about people, demographic as well as behavioral, our estimate is that about 116,000 people were registered who were very unlikely to have registered themselves. And of those, over 40,000 actually voted. And I really need to emphasize this. We consider that to be a very conservative estimate. We feel very confident about those numbers, and it's likely that the number is actually higher. This is a huge achievement for the program. The second thing that we wanted to do is we really wanted to paint a demographic and geographic portrait of AVR registrants and voters. And to do that, we geocoded every registered voter in the state, over 2.7 million people. We took their home address and we turned it into a little point on a map so that we knew what types of neighborhoods these people lived in. And there's four big takeaways from that analysis. The first is that AVR registrants are much, much younger. Over 40% of AVR registrants were 18 to 29. That same number among traditional registrants, people who registered themselves through traditional means, is 18%. 40% versus 18%, 1829. We know that AVR registrants are much less urban. They're much less likely to come from metropolitan areas, much more likely to come from the suburbs around cities and from small communities. We know that they're much likelier to come from working class areas. They're likelier to live in neighborhoods where the median income was less than $60,000 and where people have a high school education or less. And lastly, we know that they come from more racially diverse areas, areas that are less white and more Latino. We take all of those together. These are people who are younger, they're less urban, they're more working class, and more racially diverse. And what that means is it's making the electorate in Oregon look more like the population in Oregon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rob. I think that really is one of the most important takeaways, because we know for government to be responsive and accountable to all the people in a state or a country, really the voting population of that state or country needs to better map onto the actual population itself. And to tell you a little bit more about the conditions on the ground in Oregon and then more about the communities that we highlight in the report that were affected by AVR, I'm thrilled to turn it over to Professor Paul Gronke of Reed College, Director of the Early Voting Information Center.
Thanks very much, Liz. And thanks to everyone who called in tonight. Thanks for Governor Brown for joining us. I just want to go off script for just one moment and echo something that Governor Brown noted. Nationally, voter registration systems, one of the primary points of problems, one of the primary security points really is paper. Paper creates errors. And one of the big advantages of this system is it really and almost completely eliminates paper. And that's something that really everyone who's concerned about the security and integrity of the election system in the United States should be concerned about and celebrate the example that Oregon places by going to automatic voter registration. I'm going to give a little bit of the local flavor here. I work closely with Tova Wang and Rob Griffin on producing the report and can answer any questions along with Rob about the data analysis. But I also provide a little bit of local flavor because I have been living in Oregon and my family moved here in the late 70s. What I wanted to point out is a couple, I think, fascinating and very interesting characteristics of how the Oregon motor voter system worked. As Rob already pointed out, many of the automatic registrants came from lower income and lower education areas. A nice example is the city of Portland. Portland's experienced sort of an urban renaissance over the last quarter century, as have many cities. But one of the unfortunate outcomes of this is that lower-income residents have been pushed out of some of the more attractive areas. In Portland's case, that means that lower-income residents have been pushed out of the center parts of the city, primarily the Inner East Side, and then pushed out toward the east, out east toward Gresham and Troutdale. And you see this in the map that we show of Portland, where there were not a larger percentage of the population that was registered with AVR in the inner city areas, but there were large upticks past I-205 in Gresham and East. These have been traditionally white working class neighborhoods, but have been experiencing a lot of diversity over the last 20 years as Latinos, as Eastern Europeans have moved and Asians have moved into those areas. And here we saw AVR registered a lot, a relatively high proportion of citizens. But it's not just in the Portland metro area. There's also fascinating patterns in eastern Oregon, an area that has trended more Republican traditionally. It's heavily agricultural, rural. It's ranch country. One example that you can see there is Ontario. This is near the Oregon border, just over the border from Boise. Ontario is located in one of Oregon's poorest counties, and this historically agricultural area also saw a significant number of its citizens registered to AVR. In fact, you can see sort of an arc of high draws of AVR running from Pendleton on the Columbia River swinging down to Ontario. The automatic registrants also came from more racially diverse areas, as I said already, particularly Hispanic areas. South of the Portland metro area, areas such as Woodburn and Canby, these were traditional farming communities, have turned majority Latino. Both saw significant increases in registration through AVR. Also, communities in northeast of Salem, which is Portland's capital, Kaiser and Hayesville, these also benefited from AVR. Finally, the AVR registrants were less likely to come from the metropolitan core areas. The program helped Oregonians in low-density areas like Tillamook and Tillamook County, communities where the economy has been based on fishing and dairy jobs. And one notable example that we called out in the report is Coos Bay and Coos County. Coos County was highlighted, in fact, in the New York Times story just a few weeks ago as a county that's been battling with the impact of declining timber revenues over the last 25 years. Coos County has a lot of wealth that is right on the coast, but right inland, traditionally timber country, they are one of the poorest counties in Oregon, and they also saw a heavy number of registrants coming in through AVR. So to me, this was really a surprise. I expected an impact in the Portland metro area, but to see the impact in the more rural areas, areas that have really been struggling with the kind of economic transformations that have been impacted the country as a whole and certainly have impacted Oregon, was really a surprise. It's something that I hope to be digging into more over the next 6 to 9 months.
Thank you so much, Paul. Really just an illustration of how much information there is in this report as well as in the interactive map that is online. And now I am pleased to open up the call for any questions.
If you'd like to pose a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 for questions. We'll pause for just a moment to assemble our queue. We currently have no callers in the queue at this time. Again, that is star 1 for questions. We'll pause for an additional moment.
Great. And while we're pausing, I guess particularly Governor Brown, if you're still on the line, anything to add about just how this program has been received by Oregonians?
Well, that's a great question. I'm very pleased to say that Oregonians have embraced this wholeheartedly, and I'll share two examples. When we initially introduced the legislation, I had three county clerks that were supportive. I would say without a doubt the county clerks are extremely supportive of this, both in terms of the security aspects but the efficiency aspects of it. The other area where we're seeing a full embracing of the concept is we have a new Secretary of State. He happens to be a Republican, and he has embraced this wholeheartedly. And so, you know, in terms of the folks in the system, they're very supportive. But Oregonians on the ground, as Paul mentioned, across the state are very excited to be able to have their voices be heard.
That's wonderful. And it is really, you know, it's been great to see, as well as you mentioned, the bipartisan support for this just modern technological convenience. We've seen that in Washington State, you know, the Republican Secretary of State also supporting it. We've seen that with the bipartisan unanimous votes that Winnie mentioned in Illinois and in Rhode Island. So really, I think it's just a question of a common sense reform that serves to make voting more convenient for Americans, hopefully more and more Americans across the country as this program does spread. And hopefully this report and these new impact findings really showing who votes with AVR and all the kind of surprise findings that Rob and Paul just detailed will really help to support drives to expand automatic voter registration programs in other states across the country. So thank you again, Oregon, for leading the way. And if there are no other questions, I think that we can wrap for the morning.
We have no further questions in the phone queue at this time.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all very much. Bye-bye.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.